Hidden with Christ Ministries presents Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland, bringing you practical truths from the Word of God that will assist you in living victoriously in every arena of life. Now here's Rita with today's message.
Hello, friends. This week we are talking about setting the captives free. And this specifically is addressed to Christians because oftentimes we find areas in our lives where we're struggling, where we don't have complete freedom, where we don't have total victory, or maybe we have some bondage, but we cannot seem to pinpoint the source of the problem in order to deal with it. Today I want to talk to you about the biblical principle of making vows. If you do a word study in the Bible on the word vow, you find many references, and I'm going to share some of them with you today. In Deuteronomy 23, verses 21 to 23, we find this principle laid out for us. If you vow, it will be required of you. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 2, and then verses 4 to 5, we find the subject of vows addressed there. It says, "Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thy heart be hasty to utter anything before God, for God is in heaven and thou upon earth. Therefore, let thy words be few." And then in verse 4 and 5, it says, "When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that you not vow than you vow and not pay." This principle, better it is to not vow than to vow and not pay, is an important one, as well as the one found in Deuteronomy, that if you do make a vow, it will be required of you. Something is set into motion in the spiritual realm when we make a vow. A vow consists of words that promise to do or give something to God or others, or even to self. And this covenant promise that's made with our own mouth sets into motion something in the spirit. There is a great danger in making vows, and I wanted to address that specific part today. There are good vows, such as the marriage vow, but that's not the type of promise or vow I'm talking about today at all. We are going to talk about the danger of making vows outside of the will of God. Many times people vow something, or they'll say, "I swear I'm never going to do such and such." And that statement, "I swear I'll never," is a vow that they are putting into place that very often is made in a rash moment, in a moment of bitterness or disappointment, and is often regretted later. And most often those types of vows consists of things that are said that are against God's will for that person's life. Let's look at an interesting occurrence in the book of Judges where a man made a vow that he had to later pay that he was deeply regretful for. And it exposes the problem at the root of making vows rashly that can be regretted later. The danger of the type of vow that I'm talking about today has to do with the fact that as human beings, we don't know the future and we rarely can discern the big picture. And so our vows can often be based upon an error in judgment. In the book of Judges chapter 11, we find this occurrence with a man named Jephthah. Now Jephthah was a man of God and a man of valor. And he's even listed in Hebrews 11 among the people of faith. But he made a very critical mistake that had to do with the vow that he made, and it exhibits the very reason why we should not make vows that have to do with the future, because we don't know the future like God knows the future. In verse 29 of Judges 11, it says, "Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah, and he passed through Gilead and Manasseh, and he passed through Mizpah of Gilead. And from Mizpah of Gilead he advanced toward the people of Ammon. And Jephthah made a vow to the Lord and said, 'If you will indeed deliver the people of Ammon into my hands, Then it will be that whatever comes out of the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the people of Ammon shall surely be the Lord's, and I'll offer it up as a burnt offering. So Jephthah advanced toward the people of Ammon to fight against them, and the Lord delivered them into his hands. And he defeated them from Aroer as far as Minnith, 20 cities, and to Abel-Karamim with a very great slaughter. Thus the people of Ammon were subdued before the children of Israel. When Jephthah came to his house at Mizpah, there was his daughter coming out to meet him with timbrels and dancing, and she was his only child. Besides her, he had neither son nor daughter. And it came to pass when he saw her that he tore his clothes and said, "Alas, my daughter, you have brought me very low. You are among those who trouble me, for I have given my word to the Lord, and I cannot go back on it." So she said to him, "My father, if you've given your word to the Lord, do to me according to what has gone out of your mouth, because the Lord has avenged you of your enemies, the people of Ammon." Now, first of all, we know it would never be God's will for Jephthah to offer up his daughter as a burnt offering to give thanks to God for Jephthah having won a battle. Jephthah, however, made a very critical mistake in vowing to God, "If you'll help me, if you'll give me my enemies, if you'll make me victorious, then I'll do this for you." God does not need us to make vows to him, to twist his arm, to get him to do something for us. It was in the heart of God that Jephthah should be victorious over the people of Ammon in the beginning. He already had that in his heart. Jephthah had been raised up by God. It says the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and the Spirit of God guided him and took him from city to city that he would have victory over his enemies. God was in no need of Jephthah making such a vow to him, and it was certainly outside of the will of God. The danger of vows is that we rarely know or discern the future the way God does, and so a vow can be regretted. Jephthah had no way of knowing his daughter was going to come out of his tent. The reason he made that vow is that at that time, the animals that they had would often be inside with the people. And it said that it will be whatever comes out of the doors of my house, whatever, not whoever, whatever. He was expecting a goat or a lamb to come out when the master was coming home. But instead, his daughter came out first, and that was not what Jephthah was expecting at all. Vows are dangerous. We don't need to make promises to God in a rash moment trying to get him to do something for us. A second reason that vows are very dangerous are because they're often made in a moment of anger or disappointment when the flesh is trying to take matters into its own hands by vowing. For example, when a person has suffered a disappointment in perhaps relationships, they will very often make a vow that they will regret later but not realize it at the time. They'll say something like, "I'll never love again," or "I'll never let myself be that vulnerable with anyone," or "I'll never share my true feelings," or "I'll never allow myself to be humiliated and embarrassed by a man or by a woman again," "I'll never trust another person." Those types of vows, and most people don't recognize them as vows, but they are, bring a lot of trouble into that person's life. Because then later on, years go by, and they've gotten over the crushed heart that they had over that lost boyfriend or girlfriend relationship. They can't seem to understand why they can never have a relationship with someone, why it's hard for them to ever share their feelings, why they have a hard time trusting another person or becoming close to someone of the opposite sex. But if they've made a vow, "I'll never let myself be vulnerable, I'll never share myself with anybody, I'll never allow myself to trust a man or trust a woman again," they could have operating against them in the spirit realm. The very vow that they made is causing them to be unable to do what now their mind wants to do, but in the spirit, things are in place. by the words of their own mouth. We know from Proverbs 18:21 that there's death and life in the power of the tongue. There is power in the words of your mouth. And you have to recognize that we can't just say, oh, I was just kidding, or I was just a kid and I didn't know what I was saying, or I said that because I was frustrated or angry or disappointed at the time, but I don't agree with that anymore. You need to go back and repent to God for deciding against the will of God, for making a vow with your mouth that was against God's will. It's not God's will for you to say, I'll never trust anybody again. I'll never get married. I'll never let myself be vulnerable. All of those types of statements are against the will of God. We are to be loving and trusting people. We're not to be people that protect ourselves because of disappointment and hurt. We have to trust God to protect us and walk in love everywhere we go. But those types of vows made with our words in a moment of disappointment will end up preventing you from being able to even have the desire of your heart, because you have put into motion in the spirit something that is operating and it's, so to speak, making you pay the vow. Years ago, as a teenager, I made a vow with my own mouth, I'll never have children. And then once I got married, I had miscarriage after miscarriage. And until the Holy Spirit revealed to me that I had made that vow, and that until I repented of speaking that thing which was against God's will and asked God to forgive me and cleanse me of it, it would not be broken. It would continue to exact its payment because I was the one that put it into motion. Understand, vows of your mouth are powerful. Ask the Lord to show you if you've made such a vow. God wants you to be free in every area of your life, and oftentimes our own bondage comes because we've been snared by the words of our mouth, according to Proverbs chapter 6. Ask the Lord to show you and then be willing to repent of making a vow that was against the will of God for your life. God will forgive you and cleanse you, and that power of that thing will be broken, and you can begin to walk in freedom that God has for you.
Join us again weekdays at this same time for more practical truths from the Word of God on Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland. To receive a free teaching tape, please check out our website at www.hiddenwithchrist.com. Again, that's www.hiddenwithchrist.com. Or you can write us at Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 3267. Again, that's P.O. Box 3267 in Tustin, California, 92781, USA. In the United States, you can call us toll-free at 1-866-HE-HEALS. Again, that number is 1-866-HE-HEALS. We look forward to hearing from you.